Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lenning School Watch et al. Diane Lenning is your host, former educator of over 30 years, and a law student working on a JD degree. Our program brings much sought-after information about education and related issues. We have guests and call-in opportunities for parents, educators, and interested parties to get your questions answered for those who want to know how our kids can get a quality education in America today. Our call-in number is 818-394-8537. 877-497-9937 for the toll-free call number. If you want to email Diane with questions, email at diane@lenning.com, D-I-A-N-E at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. Again, those numbers are in the local area in California, 818-394-8537, and the toll-free number 877-497-9937. We hope you will call in tonight. We have a very exciting guest. You can listen to our show live each first Wednesday of the month from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's California time. Online at blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. Listen to the music a moment, get your coffee.
Thank y'all very much for listening to this. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Stein.
We have a great guest tonight, Rosie Press, former educator from Los Angeles Unified School District. I will be telling about her in a moment and giving her contact information, so I hope you have your pen and pencil and paper ready. We'll be with you in a moment. Get your coffee, tea, whatever you drink, sit back and relax. Diane Lenning for Lenning School Watch et al. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. We have a very special guest, Rosie Press, who was a former teacher for Los Angeles Unified School District. And I'll give her contact information up front here because I believe once we get going, you might not have opportunity to do that. Her story is very interesting. You don't want to miss this. I will just give her email contact, RozyWow@AOL.com, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com. And if you'd like further information or like to contact her attorney regarding this case, you can email me at Diane@Lenning.com on an individual basis, and I can give you further information. But I do want to respect her privacy so that we won't give out any information that she doesn't want given out. So let me introduce Rosie a little bit and tell some information about her, I think you will find her very interesting. Top of the list, she is an American war hero who was a hostage, a target, and an evacuee out of Iran in 1978. And how well I remember that era. It seems to me, if I recall correctly, that Carter was president then, and as soon as Reagan became president, they let the hostages go. She was the one who started the evacuation so that 40,000 Americans got out of Iran safely. That in itself is something to hold on to for her great purpose in life. She also told the terrorists what to do to themselves in their constant daily death threat phone calls to her. She's a fighter, and she's going to continue to fight. She has an ongoing case with LAUSD that I think you'll find interesting that she's going to talk about in a moment. Let me give a few facts about Rosie. She worked for LAUSD from 1993 to 2001 as an educator. She was attacked on December 8, 2000. You're going to find out about that and what has since evolved. She has a Master's of Arts degree in art education. She earned in 1992, and before that she had a Bachelor of Arts degree in art in 1988. She attended colleges and universities across America wherever she was stationed. And if I don't get to that, she'll tell a little bit about what that means. Her husband and she were in the Air Force, I believe, which my husband and I were too, so I know what that life is about. She has a teaching credential, CLEAR, which means that you can teach for life in that subject area. And she earned that in 1993. Some of her life experiences was that she was an Air Force fighter pilot's wife for 21 years. That means her husband was an officer. So she was an officer's wife, which comes with a role of duty and position with assisting with the wives and families of other families who are enlisted. Being part of the world's major headlines again, she was involved, as I said before, in the Iranian Revolution hostage crisis, a target, an evacuee. She also has some information about the Germany terrorist attacks of 1985 and something to say about the Russian nuclear accident, Chernobyl, in 1986. Some of the other highlights will have to do with the National War College in Washington, D.C., and apparently she and her husband were stationed at Nellis Air Force Base, which I believe is in Nevada, and the aggressor squadron there at Nellis. So that ought to be interesting in itself. She spent her life with many prominent military and civilian leaders, presidential candidates, Hollywood personalities, former astronauts, etc. She wrote a column, and I won't say that, it looks like German, in a magazine for military wives and visiting dignitaries. And she, I'm sure, has many more incredible experiences. She's a very blessed person, she believes, and has a great strong faith in God, who has helped her get through all of this time of crisis. She has had a very hard time because of her physical injuries from this attack, which she's going to share. But she says that the good Lord has sustained her through all of this, and she's asking for the Lord to continue to bless what evolves through this learning process for many. And she does have an attorney. If she wants to give that information, I'll let her do that if she wants. And with that, I'm going to introduce her and let her say just a little bit about herself. Hi, are you there? Let me try again.
Anne?
Hi, Rosie, are you there? There, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm here.
good evening. Just give us, in a short paragraph or two, a little bit about what we're going to talk about, and then I will also give a capsule and ask our first questions.
Okay, but first I want to thank you for that beautiful introduction. That was so nice of you, and thank you for having me tonight.
You're very welcome.
Amongst all the things that I've gone through, being a teacher for LAUSD in December 8th of 2000, 11 years ago, I was sprayed in my face with a fire extinguisher with the toxic chemicals by my student. I had terrible chest pains. My nose was closing. My tongue was swelling. My muscles felt like mush. The school did not call the paramedics. There was no nurse on campus. They just left me there for hours, and then they told me I had to go home. They never cleaned up the room with all the yellow powder. I kept asking, but they never did. They never did anything to the student. And for the last 11 years, I've been in the greatest battle of my life, because this time my health changed dramatically at that moment in my life. I could never work again. I could never teach again. I didn't have the energy that I used to have. I have lung damage with nodules on my lungs now, toxic fibromyalgia with terrible pains, and extreme fatigue. And through the 11 years, my questions have always been that LAUSD has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on my case, and it is admitted act of violence case. They gave me an act of violence, which meant I had physical injury since 2002.
Hey, Rossi, before we get too much into the case,
okay,
let's give the audience an idea of what your goals are in wanting to get this story out to the media.
Well, first of all, I thought the case would end if everybody knew about it and LAUSD would realize what they were doing. And there's 1,000 other injured teachers that I would like that their lives, and they would not have to go through this inhumane treatment, and also get the laws changed. Because no one should have a case for 11 years and where they don't pay you, where you have to worry about if you have money for food or to pay your bills or lose your home. And the law says to medically treat the injured and pay them correctly, which LAUSD does not do.
Now, just what has your medical condition evolved to, and how is your health every day? How does it affect your life and those in your family and your career hopes and goals? I know you had said here before you put yourself through school to become a teacher. You wanted to share all your wonderful experiences from all over the world with your students, and you wanted to encourage the students that they could live out their dreams. And how has this attack in one day in your life as a teacher impacted all your hopes and dreams for your life and your family?
Well, I don't really have the goals I had before. It's just really getting up and feeling better. My health is like a yo-yo. I have lung damage, so it's hard to breathe. You can hear me speaking. It's hard to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the nodules on my lungs from the toxic chemicals. I also have toxic fibromyalgia. So anyone who has that knows how hard it is with the pain, that the body's riddled with pain, and then the extreme exhaustion. Sometimes
so
I
now
feel like...
When you share now about how this happened, I just want people to really know how this one incident due to possible procedural failures has impacted your life in a meaningful and strong way. Tell a little bit more about the effects of the injury.
Well, before I had energy of 100 people, and I was always doing things. I had 40 kids in my 5 periods, and I usually covered a 6th. I had 250 students in a Bible club that I was the advisor for every week at school. And I had a very big social life. And now I think I'm going to do something, and I'm so exhausted I just go to bed. Or I ask people, don't call me till the afternoon because it's so hard to breathe in the morning. I have oxygen that I get on. So I don't have the life I had.
So is your condition going to deteriorate, remain the same, or get worse over time?
Well, my condition has gotten worse. Even LAUSD doctors have said that because they're not giving me the treatment I'm supposed to have. But once he sprayed me, he just ruined my body. It's hard to swallow. He ruined all my muscles. I mean, immediately following it, I ended up with the lung damage and then the toxic fibromyalgia, and I never had any of these things before. In order to be in a classroom teaching 40 students every single day, you have to be a healthy person.
And you have to have your voice, and boy, I know that because I taught for over 30 years in at-risk schools. Now, I understand on December 8th, 2000, this pivotal day in your life, a student attacked you while you were teaching a class at Sepulveda Middle School in Los Angeles Unified School District. Now, explain to us how that happened and how any procedures might have contributed to the results and how better procedures may have prevented it or made it a better situation.
Well, the fire extinguisher was hanging on the wall by the door, so any student could have picked it up and sprayed the class. And they do that. Maybe three or four times a month they were doing that in the different schools. I am not the only teacher that this has happened to. There is a teacher from in L.A. at an LAUSD school, Charles Smith, and he's on oxygen 24 hours a day. He's very sick. But if they would have put the fire extinguishers in a cabinet in case they needed them, this would have never happened. And also, when it happened to me, instead of doing nothing, when I was so out of it and in pain, to call the paramedics immediately.
So LAUSD or personnel at your campus did not call paramedics?
Yes, the principal did not call the paramedics. They just left me there. My face was burning. You could see it. I was ashen. I was gasping for air. I had chest pains. My nose was closing. My tongue was swelling, and they just left me there.
And did they see that it had happened to you? Had someone come to your room so they knew something happened?
Well, I had walked out, and I met another teacher because it was lunchtime. And she took me to the office. They sent me to the nurse's room. And there was no nurse on campus, so they just said to sit there. And then
no
my friend
nurse
went on
campus.
On campus. And then my friend went on to teach her fifth period class, and they just left me there.
And, of course, were you thinking as you normally are able to, or had it affected your cognitive thinking?
Oh, I was totally out of it. I was in the bathroom mostly. My nose was closing, my tongue was swelling, totally out of it, in pain, excruciating headache, chest pain. I thought I was going to die on the spot because I was having such a hard time.
Yeah, was there a secretary in the nurse's office? Sometimes there is.
No one.
No one?
No one.
And no one came to check on you for how long, would you say?
Maybe about 45 minutes.
That's a long time.
Right.
And what was the reason for not checking on you or calling paramedics? Did they state a reason?
No, they never stated anything. But at the step one meeting, the principal and the custodian said there was a nurse on campus, and I was very surprised. This is a grieving process for people who don't know that. And I thought the records state there was no nurse on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So the proper procedures were not followed on campus.
What would you have expected as a teacher? What would you have expected to happen other than calling the paramedics because there's some time before they get there?
Did they come and somebody sits with me to make sure that I'm okay and to immediately call the paramedics? I was really shocked. You know, as the years have gone by, common decency, common sense, how do you leave a teacher who's gasping for air with chest pains just by herself and doing nothing? How inhumane.
And just let me remind the audience that the teacher who brought her to the office could not legally stay with her because she has to legally be in her classroom, or that is an egregious offense for teachers. We have to have a credentialed teacher in the classroom at all times. So I would suspect that someone went and covered your room. Do you think that happened?
Well, the principal came and she yelled at me and said, wasn't I going back to teach my fifth period class?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I am so sick, I can't do it.
And then the principal just left?
Left. She just left. I have witness letters to state how I was before I was sprayed, during the time I was sprayed, and after, what a change in my whole demeanor. And besides...
Go ahead.
All right. Besides this, they never cleaned up the room, the proper procedures to clean up toxic chemicals in a room. So there was yellow powder all over the room. If anybody knows about...
Was this the first time that had happened to you, where you'd been exposed to all those chemicals?
No, a student had done it the week before, but I got the students out of the classroom and nobody was getting sick. But this time he sprayed in my face and he sprayed the other students and they were sick too. And nothing was done for them either.
And during that week, evidently, no one on staff encased that in a glass box. I mean, we have those at our office and at the school where I worked. They had them in a glass box or plexiglass of something and put them a little bit higher to reach. It was just sitting there by itself on the wall.
Yes, I have a picture of it. I was surprised that here at a school where the students, you know, they're teenagers, but so they're just hanging there for them to just pick up if they want. But in office buildings with adults, they're always enclosed in the glass case.
Now, what happened to the student who did this?
Nothing.
Was there any kind of hearing with him? Did you get a chance to sit and explain to the staff what the student did or call in the parent or any follow-up at all?
Well, I saw the student and I said to him, do you know who did this to me? And he said, he did. So I sent him to the dean. His mother came in. She slapped him around. And they wanted to put the student back in my class. And I said, no, you can't do that. And they kept wanting to put him in my class, and I kept saying no. And he was not returned to my classroom. And they never did anything more to him.
So what, was he assigned to another classroom for that period?
Yes, he was.
And he stayed on the campus as well, where he had done this?
Right. He was on the campus. Teachers were just not protected.
Now, I just want, you know, being a former teacher, I want to make a point here because it's my contention that much of the difficulties LA Unified School District has may possibly be due to their low level or lack of follow-up on consequences and holding students accountable. This student could have had many options but should have had a consequence. And there are many, you know, besides the referral, they could have had Saturday school or some kind of detention or some kind of consequence. And you can rest assured that all the students in this school knew that kid got away scot-free. And so that sets and sends a message. It also sets a precedence of consequences and staff response to inappropriate behavior of students. And not only was this just some funny joke or prank, this actually harmed people, which is some kind of a crime, you know, depending on whether it's a, you know, assault and battery or misdemeanor, or it's a harm. It caused a harm to people. And kids are responsible for their behavior to others. Because they're under 18 or on campus does not give them the right to do what they want without consequences. This is one of my major contentions when I've been an educator and noticed throughout the state the failure of our schools, why so many kids are allowed to drop out and not followed up in attending school.
And LA has one of the lowest dropout rates in the state as far as their district. And if you are in a school district as another student, would you want to continue attending there where these kinds of things happened? I knew many students who were afraid when we had incidents, and we had to assure them after things happened that we would do our best and due diligence to make it safe for them and other teachers to attend the school. So not only is this a real impact upon Rosie Press's life and her family, but it's an impact on everyone who attends and works in each school district where these events happened. The fact that the student got away without any consequence is really a significant item here. So now we know that nothing has happened as far as the discipline for that student. Now, this would be a good time to tell us some of the legal issues. Now, I have to click my button to bring my screen back up. It should not disconnect you, but in case it does, we'll call back in, right? Because I just can't see my call screen. You know how it goes on rest. Okay.
Right,
so,
I will call you back in.
Okay, so let me try it here. You're going to be telling us it's okay. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Good. Okay, you're going to be telling us now about some of the legal issues that you've gone through. You've been to court here. Tell us your first step in taking this as far as some kind of action in a legal proceeding.
Well, I went and I obtained a lawyer for a workers' comp case, but they kept dragging it on, and I'm now up to my fifth attorney. I will mention his name. He is wonderful, Clint Fetterson. His telephone number is 818-981-9960.
And did you want to give his email, too? If you don't have it, I have it here.
Okay, you can give it.
Okay, again, his name is Clint Fetterson. C as in cat, F as in Frank, E-D-D-E-R-S as in Sam, E-N, at rgwlawfirm.com. If you didn't get that, you can always email me later and get that. And again, his phone number is 818-981-9960. So tell us those steps that you went through legally.
Okay, well, I obtained a workers' comp attorney. I did the grievance process, which is happens in the school districts. In 2002, I was awarded an act of violence, which means that LAUSD knew that I had a physical injury, and they awarded me for it. But that was 9 years ago, and I am still, my case is still going on. And
may
LA,
I sidetrack you just a little bit?
Sure.
Because I was on the board, the union board for our local school district. I know what the grievance process is. And we happened to have an attorney as our executive director when I was on the board. And I know that the union is supposed to step up for you and advocate on your behalf in these kinds of issues. Tell us first what happened with the grievance process.
Well, the
The
first step, you meet with the principal. So I met with her, and she had the custodian there, and they said that there was a nurse on campus that day. Okay, so then I had to grieve it again, and I had a representative, Tom Alfano from UTLA. And after 2 years, I received an act of violence, which is very, very difficult to get.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I'll reiterate, it means a physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I received that. They give you, like, 3 years to try to get well on pay. You don't have to resign, and you're still part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get well. I just kept getting sicker and sicker, coughing and the infiltrates on my lungs and the exhaustion.
Well, that leads to what kind of medical treatment and what were the issues with that?
Well, with fibromyalgia, they try different kinds of medicine, but unfortunately, from the chemicals, I'm reacting to even aspirin and food because the boy because I ingested an excessive amount of the chemicals, so it ruined my muscles.
Do you happen to know what kind of chemical it was? Did you remember that?
I did at one time. I have it for it. But what it does is it takes the, from a fire extinguisher, it takes the air out of the fire. So what it does in your lungs, it takes the air out of your lungs. Mm-hmm. And it makes like these little bumps in your lungs. So now I have nodules in my lungs.
Mm.
And I don't know where that.
Would you say it works at maybe less than half capacity that you used to have? Just give people an idea.
I'm exhausted all the time. If I go and I do something, and that's just sitting in a place, I go to bed for 2 days to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I am just sick, like my brain doesn't work.
Because you're not getting oxygen to your brain in the amount that it needs to have.
Exactly, exactly.
And neither is the rest of your body. That oxygen replenishes the blood supply.
That's what happened to me. I had like pneumonia and then the exhaustion and just walking. I have stairs. I was so out of breath today just going up my stairs. And then I have the pain from the fibromyalgia, the shooting pains in my body. So it's difficult.
Is it just in your lungs or everywhere?
No, not in my lungs. Well, sometimes in my lungs, my chest hurts. My lungs hurt because it's hard to breathe.
Right.
But then when I have the fibromyalgia, which the fibromyalgia comes and goes, and it's like shooting pains, like the 4th of July in your body.
Mm.
So it's hard to sleep. It's hard to walk.
Are you on pain medication for that?
No, because medicine doesn't agree with me.
Oh.
Because of the chemicals I ingested.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as
you're kind of forced to just suffer the effects of it.
Exactly. So my body goes up and down like a yo-yo. If I would tell you that I would meet you somewhere, I could call you at the last minute and say I'm too tired. I couldn't even drive to get there. Or I can't even get up to make my own dinner.
Well, I was fortunate to be able to meet you a while back at a meeting. So I'm glad I did. And I had an illness way back in the 70s that was like a cousin to fibromyalgia. So I can identify with your illness, and I know it is debilitating, as mine was at the time. Fortunately, I'm over that and don't have it anymore. But it sounds like yours, you are likely going to have to live with that the rest of your life.
I will. I just saw a doctor, and he said I would never be any better than I am. And I could be worse.
You think you should have some kind of monetary settlement for damages?
I would think so. Of all the things I've done in my life, all the adventures I've been on, I have never seen anything like this in America. I can't believe they didn't call the paramedics. I couldn't believe they didn't clean up the room or anything happened to the boy. And then I ask myself every day while I'm trying to count pennies for food or to pay my bills or to save my house, why they're paying the doctors hundreds of thousands of dollars to write these reports that they can't even get the details right on them. And then the conclusions for my diagnosis isn't even right. And then LAUSD spends another hundred thousands of dollars on lawyers to delay my case.
And why do you think they did that?
Well, I think they don't want to pay me the money they owe me, or they don't want to pay me the proper medical care that is, there's laws of the state in California that is required to alleviate my condition, to cure or alleviate my condition, and they're refusing to do that.
And what is their defense?
There isn't. There's nobody that seems to control LAUSD. Which I've learned this going through this process. LAUSD does whatever they want to. They cry that they don't have any money for teachers. They're firing teachers, they're firing librarians, they're letting all these people go, but they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on my case, so I will go away, lose everything, and die off.
Now, it seems to me, and I'm going to get to the obvious other question in a minute, that they would have been better off, instead of spending all that money, just give you money up front and do what's right. But what about the health insurance? Is the district self-insured, or are they insured for teachers through a private medical insurance company?
They're with Sedgwick, which is a CMS. And even Sedgwick, when it comes to, you know, paying mileage and parking because they send you to doctors from the beginning, it took them 4 years to pay me mileage and parking the first time, which is a 30-day to 45-day turnaround.
Right.
So it took them 4 years.
My goodness. And were they held up because of the procedural, stalling that perhaps LAUSD was doing? Were they using the procedures to stall?
They like to stall, so it intimidates an injured teacher, it harasses them, so they give up. And they thought, I'm certain, that 11 years later I would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going anywhere.
What do you mean by gone? What do you mean, pass away?
Pass away. Isn't that a terrible thing? Tell me, when they don't treat you, like calling the paramedics, or they don't give you the medical care that you need, and even their doctors have said I needed it and I'm getting sicker, what would you call that?
Well, I'm not going to try to be mean or label them with anything, but behavior like that sounds negligent to me.
It is. It is. And what happens when you get doctors? What do you call this? When a doctor has the documented medical reports in front of him and they use their expert doctors and they pay them thousands of dollars and they write the opposite or they write their own little story. The last doctor I saw got close to $8,000 for his report. I just won the appeal. Now they've sent it back to delay it back to the same doctor. I wonder how much he's going to get for this report. I saw him 5 times, 3 depositions. Don't you think they know what I have already?
Yeah, why are they wanting him to write another one?
Right, why? That's the question. So they can delay it and they can win and I will go away. And this is a school district that doesn't have money for teachers, that complains they don't have money for anything.
They surely have some kind of insurance for these. They must have. A district would be negligent not to have some kind of insurance with all the possibilities of what can happen.
Right. Well, there's 1,000 injured teachers. There's another teacher what's happened to me. He was sprayed in his face, too. In 2009, they found $105 million. Dawn Watkins from the Risk Management Department, which is workers' comp. She found this extra money. Now, of course she found this extra money because they're not really medically treating or paying people correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing whatever they want. And there's no one, it seems, in the state that is over them to stop it.
So you've never really had a jury trial or a trial by judge to determine the outcome of this case to this point, is that correct?
Well, there is a jury doesn't try a workers' comp case. I had a judge, and this is also a very interesting story, too. The judge had it from 2009. He had it for a year and a half. He changed all the facts. He never really had all the facts correct. He made up his own story. It was sent up to be appealed. I won the appeal. The judge never considered my physical injuries that are documented. So instead of the judge making a decision, he sent it back down to this doctor.
Now, I'm in law school, so I'm just going to let you say the name of that judge, and I'm not going to make any comments.
Okay, I will say his name. His name is Judge Gerald Cohn. And everybody that knows him, the lawyers cannot, and the doctors, have never seen him do what he has done to me. He libeled me. He maligned my character. He said in his first decision, which he had many decisions, that I lied and lied and lied about the facts. Yet every one of his decisions was overturned, was vacated, because there wasn't any evidence for his decisions. He also, many times in his decisions, he didn't even know where I was attacked. He kept saying I was attacked at the school before, which I also went a grievance there. Once you win a grievance, they have to throw away the paperwork.
So but you have won an appeal, correct?
I've won grievances at other schools. Okay, yes,
you
won the appeal. I won the appeal. They sent it back to this judge because it was missing 30 pages. They received about 310 pages, and it was missing about 30 pages. Isn't that suspicious?
Yeah.
That they couldn't send up to the appeals board all the paperwork.
So did
from
your attorney have those on record to send them up?
Yes. Yes, they all have to go up to get an appeal. So the appeals board vacated all the judge's decisions, sent it back to him to do the right thing, because even they knew that he had not done the right thing. So instead of him doing the right thing, he's just prolonging it.
He still has the case?
No, he sent it back to this doctor that received close to $8,000 the last time he wrote a report and saw me.
Okay, but it's still under the oversight of this same judge. That's just one of his actions he's requiring to be done to settle the case. He wants more information.
Right, but he had all the information to begin with. He just isn't writing it correctly in his decisions. I mean, I'm sure you're going to law school. If you would read all my medical reports and what the judge did, you would be in shock.
Is there anywhere on a website or anything where your attorney maybe has published some information that anyone could read? I know you wouldn't want to do much, but...
Well, I would be more than happy to open up all my records and show everybody what's going on.
Well, I want you to talk to your attorney first, but I would say whatever your attorney would judge to be a good idea, if you could get a website and publish that, if you want, I assume you want to get the help of some people out there who might be listening to help put some pressure on the district to do what's right here. Have you written articles for newspapers?
I have called the media to do my story, which is very difficult to get the story out, because I'm not the first teacher this has happened to.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for years to other teachers.
Well, that's a major point, because once they get a case settled, there's a precedent, and all the rest would get whatever, pretty much what the first person had earned. So it sounds to me, now I don't know, I don't have any extra information, but it seems like they're probably delaying, like you say, in hopes that they won't actually have to settle a case and just hope that you pass on. Would you say that seems to be what it is?
Thank you, Diane. You're brilliant. Thank you. This is wonderful on the radio. What a gift from God. Thank you. That is the truth. They're hoping I starve to death. I'm on the LAUSD weight loss where you don't have to exercise. You don't have to take pills. You just starve yourself, and then you don't get the medical treatment you need or the money for it.
Well, this is egregious. What is your attorney doing to get this judge to kind of move a little faster? They can present motions and different requests to the judge. What has your attorney done in that regard to get this moving?
Well, this is workers' comp, so we need a few new laws here where a workers' comp case can only go on 2 years, and then the penalties that an insurance company has to pay for doing this to somebody has to be raised. So this does not go on for anybody else, because people have killed themselves, people have died off, and, you know, this is our tax money paying for this, and it's just so disheartening. It's sickening what is going
on.
Okay,
Now, you know, I'm somewhat an activist in the political arena, so what I would like you to do is say in steps a little more specifically what you would like political people to do to push some kind of a law to resolve this issue there are some that might hear your information here and try to do what they can. And I would think whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, they're going to want to do this.
Right, because there is many people of many different political parties. They're human people, and we're Americans, and we're a people that care about other people. We're not a third world country. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, in legislative acts, I'd like to see that a case goes on only for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So it has a cutoff time in which they can't extend it.
Right, because my case could go on for years while the doctor is fooling around or writing another report, or the judge is, who knows what he'll do next.
Would you agree that a 3-year limit might be better, since that's what the medical one was to get well, or should that be also 2 years? I would think they should coincide.
Well, because other people don't have an act of violence sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know, some cases are over right away, you know, like if you break your leg or different things happen. I thought 2 years was a fair amount.
Unless
really.
You have an act of violence, then would you agree to 3 years, or it should be
well,
2 years?
Well, your case
period.
Can be over, but they also give you the medical that you need. So that can go past the 2 years. That's fine. Once your case is over, they give you a rating with workers' comp.
Mm-hmm.
Like now they're only paying me $38.65 a week.
Okay, now workers' comp brings in the state, doesn't it?
Yes. So it has to be a law with the state. New legislation needs to be done. And I've been calling my elected officials for years.
So you're not getting the state to come forward and comply with its own comp laws.
Correct. Correct. Nobody's complying with anything.
Now, have you seen a human face from the state?
I've gone to my elected officials' offices, Julia Brownlee's office, and I've asked her for years and sent letters to ask that it be, you know, be a limited time and there be new legislation, and I haven't gotten anywhere. When Sheila Kruhl was a state senator, I called that office. Also, Pavley, Senator Pavley, I've asked too that something needed to be done.
What kind of answer did they give you? They usually give one in writing.
They weren't going to do it. They didn't have time, maybe next year, to bring it up.
They didn't even answer anything in writing?
No, they just told me that next year, maybe next year if they had time.
If they had time.
Right, if they had time. And I'm a life. I'm a human life. There's 1,000 teachers. They're human. They're breathing. If they don't get their medical, if they don't get their money, they're going to die. They're going to lose. They lose everything. Sometimes they lose their families. And in their desperation, in their frustration, they kill themselves.
It seems like we need some teeth in that law, like the government has to make good faith efforts to comply with the laws and uphold their responsibilities for the people who work under them?
Correct. Just like there aren't any consequences in the school system. There aren't consequences for the students. There aren't consequences for the people running the school district. There aren't consequences for these legislators that I don't know what they're doing, but this is one of the worst states in the union. I don't know what happened to California. I went to LAUSD and graduated when it was one of the best school districts in the country. And wherever we were stationed around the country, and I said I went to LAUSD, right away I got into the colleges, wherever we were stationed, and people were in awe. They felt that I had the most wonderful education, and now we're one of the worst.
What if you could, in your, I would think, dreams, suggest for 3 to 5 things that could be done to correct this situation, other than the law here, other than fixing the compensation laws?
Well, in my dreams, I would like to see the media get hold of this story and hold LAUSD and Sedgwick accountable for what they're doing. for what they're doing for me, spending all these hundreds of thousands of dollars on these doctors that, you know, we wonder, and these lawyers, and direct the money to the injured teacher and to their students and their teachers. And also to be called tomorrow morning and said, we're gonna end your case. We've looked it over, and that's all I wanted was a fair judgment.
Mm-hmm. And also, you want some payment, some fair compensation for the damages and the harm that's been caused you, and actually the taking away of your ability to earn a living.
Correct. Well, if they would end the case, they also owe me money. They owe me so much money. I would have money for food and to pay my bills and not be worried that I'm going to lose my home.
But the point is, you can't get to the point in the system because you've been stalled off to where there can be a judgment or a decision made on it, correct?
Correct. And even the judge is passing it on. Nobody has ever seen him libel somebody like he has me. Like he said, I lied and lied. What did I lie about? It's just right there what happened to me. And
now,
then,
did he just lie in court, or is that in writing?
It's in writing. He's got it in writing, but he didn't say what I lied about. He
Do you have that copy? Do you have that copy in writing?
I have that copy. Nobody has ever seen him do this, ever. So the whole thing is suspicious. We've got doctors writing whatever they want, creative writing at its best. We have lawyers that are delaying cases. LAUSD has other interests.
Well, why would a judge do this?
I don't know. You could ask him. I have no idea. Everybody has their own opinion, and they've told me. I have my own.
What if some people told you they think maybe why the judge is doing this?
You want me to tell you?
Well, this is what other people have told you, yes.
They think he got a little deal.
What kind of deal?
Who would do this? Deal.
What do you mean by
the bottom line? We have doctors writing bogus reports and doing exams that aren't even right. Some doctor gave me an exam for fibromyalgia and examined me with a stethoscope.
Is this judge elected?
No, they go in for the job, I think. I think they interview for it.
Okay.
He's been a judge for years.
So what kind of deal could it be?
I have no idea. I don't know any idea, but it looks very suspicious to me. As a military wife that was in a war zone that saved the lives of 40,000 people, you've got a judge who just, it's just unbelievable what he wrote. He said I had two cars, and because I have two cars, I didn't need any money. I do not have two cars. Then he said I had three cars. Then he didn't know where it happened. Then he won't even look at my physical injuries.
So is he saying you don't deserve proper compensation because you own a car?
I would think so. Maybe because I'm still living and it's still going on.
After the system has harmed you and so bad to the point of you can't continue to work and your lifestyle and mode of living is totally and dramatically negatively impacted.
Right, and if you have nodules on your lungs, I could have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I get so tired, I sleep everywhere. So what am I thinking this judge did? He read all the reports, and he didn't read the physical reports or even care. He knows that the boy sprayed me, and all of a sudden, I lied and lied and lied and lied. And I was so egregious. All the doctors said that they believed everything I said, except this judge.
Well, did he have an idea of what could have happened if you supposedly lied?
No, he never said that. But you should read, I'm telling you, you should read what he wrote. At times, I didn't even know what he was talking about. He made me dizzy. And
well,
who knows what I'm going to say, what he's going to do now, because he still has my case, but, you know, $11.04 or $38.65 a week. I'm not going anywhere. I will continue speaking up. If I lose everything and I lose my house, nobody should ever have to be treated like they're in a prisoner of war camp. They should never be harassed. This is America. This is not some Iranian prison.
You know, I really feel for you what you've gone through, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to make sure you had an avenue to speak about what is happening to you, because it seems like the mainstream media here in California kind of ignores the average person here, or the teacher, or the one who really is the backbone of working in our society. Sometimes we are the fall guy, so to speak. As a teacher, I know whenever the gap had to be filled, whatever it was at school, the teachers were expected to do it. And here now, they're expecting her to be quiet and take injury and walk away and be grateful somehow for this injustice to her, which just is an injustice. Now, I think we've talked about the legal issue about as much as we can. We're hoping that someone in the media will pick this up and work with her, and I'm willing to videotape Rosie at some point if that will help the media. I think they can do it too, but maybe they'd like one up front to get the idea. But, you know, you're a strong lady who's highly educated, of high quality education and raising, and your husband was an officer in the military who served your country, and I know as a former officer's wife that the wife serves right along with the husband and is involved in many things that they do for the benefit of whatever squadron or group they're in. So tell us a little bit about, to give people an idea of your strength and backbone, what you went through in Iran as a prisoner.
Well, first I want to say we were in our own homes. And we arrived on August 30th of 1978, where they had the insurrection in Jawaharlal Square. That was the day that the Iranian Revolution started. I've heard other dates, but that is the day that it started. And we had constant firebombings, death threats, bullets passing our windows every day. And you just had to be calm. I had two children, and I worried about my children. How I was reacting, how would it affect them? And on November 4th, the city was burning, and it was getting worse. And my husband then, he went off, and I was left with my children. And I thought, oh, no, here we are. And it just was getting worse. And we were taken to Larry Davis, Major Larry Davis, the Air Force Major's home, who was later shot after having dinner at my house. That was in December. But the Iranian government told us to take everybody out of the embassy because they were going to take it. We did, and we put people back in it. So we knew they would take the embassy. We knew they would take hostages.
You know, I haven't been looking at the screen. I've been so in depth listening to this, but it looks like we may have another caller with a question. So I'm going to click the line here and see if we have a caller, and if not, we might listen to music for 30 seconds, take a breather, and come back before we close out tonight. We want her to rest her voice. So let's see if we have a caller on the line, and if so, we'll hope that... Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name, and where are you from?
I'm Charles Smith. I'm from Los Angeles.
I think you're the individual that Rosie was telling us about earlier.
she's such a wonderful person. I've experienced the things that she's experienced. I've watched her go through so much. She's not deserving of this kind of treatment. I too have lost property. I've lost a lot. For 10 years, I've been on oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
They would give me workman's compensation for a while, and then they would discontinue it, and then they would start it up again. They kept me off balance to the point where, you know, you almost want to give up on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for Rosalind, because, like, my wife, she's a teacher, a retired teacher, so our income situation is quite different from hers.
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't have the same struggles, but my suffering is just as great. Like I said, I'm on oxygen, on 7 liters of oxygen. I have to drag around oxygen tank for the rest of my life.
So there's corroboration of more than just Rosie being injured, that we have multiple individuals who have suffered this harm, and they're not getting a fair shake through the system.
Well, I could go on and on and on. There's many, many teachers that have been injured in the school district that it's not seeking up. You know, it's just that she and I are two people that have attempted to expose this sort of thing. And I would like to do whatever I could to create a, create this exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would like to do whatever it would take to change the mentality, change the way these people think. They use you up. I spent 16 years as a special education teacher. And I've been teaching children that have these behavioral problems for 16 years, and then to be faced with injuries such as mine that terminated my employment right there on the spot. They kicked me out of the classroom, right. And my employment was terminated right there on the spot, and subsequently my workman's compensation was terminated. They were doing their best to discourage me. But like Rosalind, I'm not easily discouraged.
I would think you have a case right there about them terminating you on the spot. What did the union do for you in that case?
Nothing. You know, it seems like they're all in the same ballpark. I have very little respect for these people that in that arena where they can just do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. If they want to do it, you know, it's just it's terrible. So I'm suffering.
Well, do you have a question for Rosie tonight?
Do I have one?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Keep on fighting. No, Rosalind, I'm with you all the way. I don't have a question. I have a statement.
Go ahead.
Because the questions that I have for her, she's already answered for me. Tell her that I'm with her.
Let the audience hear it, though. Let the audience hear any questions you might have.
The question I have for Rosalind is that she's such a strong person. Rosalind, what would you want to do? What would you want me to do to help you combat this injustice? Just let me know and let the rest of my friends know what we can do collectively to help you overcome these injustices that I've witnessed perpetrated against you. That would be the question I guess I would have for Rosalind, if she were to let me know what it is that I
could
do.
Hey, Rosalind, can you hear that? I didn't lose you, did I?
Yes. No, you have me. And Charles?
Okay.
Everybody should know Charles. Yes, everybody can email me, and we can get together, and we can start fighting this together.
Okay, and her email is rozywow@aol.com, rozywow@aol.com. Do you want me to give your phone number or not? I kind of hate to do that.
I have all that information. I'm in communication
with you. You can just give my email address. And
okay.
I would like somebody in the media to come and do the story.
Good.
Yes, that I've been trying for years to get out.
I will play this on Facebook, and what I will do is give you a URL that you can email around to people that tells or lets you hear this show, and so you could get it out to more people about your story. So this will be archived on blogtalkradio.com, Diane-Linning. And with this, we're approaching the end. We only have about 5 or 10 minutes here, so let me just give a bit of information. We're on the first Wednesday night of every month from 8 to 9 p.m., and the site is blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Linning, and you can listen online. All the shows are archived, and if you want to email me ahead of time with questions or even during the show, you can email me at diane@lenning.com. And if you want information about our guest tonight afterwards, I'd be happy to relay that information to her. So I'm going to give, let's give Charles 1 minute to say something he wants, and then we'll give Rosie the last 3 minutes to close up tonight. Charles.
Very good. What I would like to see happen is that a greater awareness be made relating to the treatment of disabled teachers. The fact that this insensitive, the district is so insensitive to the sufferings that go on with the teachers. I would like to really see justice show its face for a change. So far, everything has been a very unjust situation where they're doing whatever they want to do to the teacher. Like I said, in my case, they discharged me after 16 years as a special ed teacher. And I have all kinds of letters of recommendations and what have you, the whole bit. So that's what I would like. I would like to just see this information publicized and see the exposure.
Charles, thank you so much for calling in. I know you waited on hold there for a while, and I hope you could hear the show while you were waiting. But now, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And I will do what I can in the future, too, to help you two and all the other teachers. As a former educator, I want to advocate for my fellow colleagues.
Thank you
so much for being on. And, Rosie, give us about 3 minutes in a capsule, whatever you want to say. And thank you so much for being on tonight. We appreciate it. When the music starts, then you know the show will be over. Thank you, Rosie.
And thank you. You are a fantastic lady. Thank you for the time. What we all really want is we're not asking for a judgment in the system. We're just asking for a fair and impartial system. We're asking for a school district that does the right thing, LAUSD, and not spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on their expert doctors who are writing bogus reports and lawyers who are delaying the cases and judges that we have to wonder what's going on there. And nobody should have to go through this nightmare for 11 years where a teacher does not have money for food or to pay their bills or lose their home.
Well,
so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on tonight, Rosie. And we do appreciate you taking this time out of your life to share your story. We hope the story gets out there for the right people to help you with your situation, and I will do whatever I can in the future to make sure that you get a fair hearing and justice in this state of California, this kind of liberal, loony state of California that many have said they feel sorry for us. It does seem kind of one-sided in many cases, and we're out there trying to blog and give some justice and fairness to those who are without much ability or power within our system to have our situation heard fairly. And we want you to know that we look forward to hearing you next time. Remember, the first Wednesday of each night, our next show is November 2nd, and we're going to have Lydia Grant, also a lady from Los Angeles Unified School District, as a parent. She will be talking what she has been doing in the district. LA Unified is a pivotal district in what is happening and impacts the rest of us in the state of California in many ways, but in one big way is financially, and it's the way they set education goals. So God bless you. May everyone have a good day, good night, and a good month until I see you next time in November at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9 on November 2nd. We love you, we love you, we love you. God bless you, and I'll let you listen to a couple of minutes of Beethoven on the way out. Thank you so much for being with us at Lining School Watch et al. This is your host, Diane Lining. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. You guessed it. Classical music is my favorite, and I love Beethoven. I used to play the violin and piano and taught it for many years. An educator in music for many years in a youth conservatory orchestra. So I have to play a little Beethoven every so often. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless each and every one of you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Night, all.